Dateline Washington, Thursday, January 29th, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, the real story on climate change. We'll talk with Dr. Tim Ball, former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg, about former Vice President Al Gore's testimony to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on Wednesday, in which he said we would be facing a climate catastrophe unless decisive action is taken now. We'll get Dr. Ball's rebuttal to that and get his analysis of why there's at least $400 million to study climate change in the current economic stimulus bill. Also in this edition of Dateline Washington, American Grit. We'll speak with author and political commentator Tony Blankley about his new book, focusing on what we need to do and what we need to do better in order for America to continue to lead the world throughout the 21st century. Plus, is 30 seconds worth $3 million? We'll speak with Bill Ruby, Vice President for Sales and Marketing at Denny's, about why his company, for the first time ever, and in a very rough economy, is buying a 30-second and 15-second spot during this year's Super Bowl. And the power of saying no. We'll ask John Gizzi of Human Events the significance of all House Republicans voting against the economic stimulus plan and get his thoughts on the final stand for Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. All that plus Thursday's headlines follows our discussion with Dr. Tim Ball on the issue of climate change, and that begins right now. My first guest in this edition is Dr. Tim Ball, former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg. We want to get his thoughts today as the issue of climate change once again comes to Washington, specifically with the testimony of former Vice President Al Gore on Capitol Hill on Wednesday, and also the fact that there's a lot of money inside this proposed economic stimulus package that would go towards climate research and potentially programs designed to combat climate change as it's perceived. And Dr. Ball, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for the opportunity.
Well, one of the things we've seen from Al Gore over the years is that he says that our planet is in peril. He even got some questions on Capitol Hill the other day about how long our species has left on the planet. As best as you can tell, what does the latest evidence suggest about the climate trends on this planet?
Well, the latest evidence is that the cooling that started in 2000 continues. And we've been setting record cold temperatures all over the globe. It started earlier in the southern hemisphere. For example, Brazil had the coldest June, or the coldest summer month in 99 years, and we're seeing that everywhere. And it's going to continue. So despite all of the claims of warming, it's simply not doing it. And Mother Nature is following her own course, not the course that the politicians want.
Dr. Ball, we're hearing a change in the argument now. It used to be that the Earth is warming, the ice caps are melting, and the oceans will rise and destroy people on land. Now we're hearing the argument that because there's warming at certain times of the year, there's now an extreme cold for the planet to balance itself out at other times of the year. How much credence should we give that?
Well, we shouldn't give any credence to it. It's what I call moving the goalposts. And they switched from global warming to climate change a couple of years ago when this trend of cooling occurred at the same time that CO2 levels continued to rise. And it was kind of a subtle change. And there are other changes going on. I mean, Gore stopped talking about climate change now. He's talking about climate catastrophe because, somebody pointed out to him, hey, the climate changes all the time. Tell me something I don't know. And so they talk about climate catastrophe, and his speech the other day was directed at that. And of course, the usual things about it's the climate he wants. In his movie, he talks about it's the Goldilocks syndrome. You know, it's not too hot, not too cold, just right. Well, just right for who? And just right for when? I mean, certainly you talk to the Eskimos or Inuit, as we call them in Canada, they're complaining about it getting too warm. So it's all part of the shifting as the evidence continually shows that the hypothesis is wrong. And so they have to keep moving the goalposts and changing the terminology. And eventually they're being exposed for this. And that and the extremist statements like he made a comment about in the Arctic, there's only 5 years left before there'll be no summer ice. And immediately that kind of extremism comes back on you. And by the way, the more extreme it becomes, the better it is. because what it does is it makes people who don't even understand the issue say, whoa, hold on a minute here. And it makes them look at it and think about what's actually being said.
We're talking with Dr. Tim Ball, former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg. And Dr. Ball, not to immerse you too much into U.S. politics here, but one of the big reasons that conservatives were against this economic stimulus package is that they thought there were huge provisions in there for things other than economic stimulus, one of which was $400 million to further study global warming or climate change, whatever the exact terminology is now. Is that part of the agenda here?
Oh, there's no question about it, and Obama's made that a major part of his agenda, and you know, they're sort of preparing for a replacement for Kyoto, which collapsed because of it didn't work, and also it meant a loss of jobs and a damage to the economy. So it's very much so. But here's the interesting thing to think about: why do they need $400 million if, as Gore claims, the science is settled? If it's settled, then you don't need any more money. And but of course they don't want to hear that, and a good portion of that money, by the way, I believe it's about $114 million, is going to climate models. But what are they telling you? They're telling you the climate models that we've used up to now don't work. Well, yeah, we know that, but you're finally acknowledging it. If the climate models are so good, you don't need any more money. And by the way, $114 million on climate models buys you virtually nothing. You start thinking about the hardware that's required and the cost per second of running these massive computers, and there isn't a computer in the world capable of modeling the global climate. So why are you spending all this money? It's completely unnecessary. And of course, part of the problem is it'll create its own industry. These people will do things to perpetuate that money coming to them. This is the problem with government. You set up a government department, it doesn't set about getting rid of itself. It sets about perpetuating itself. And I used to point this out to my colleagues in the sociology department and other departments at the university. You know, if you guys were any good, you'd be out of a job by now. And so this is the problem when you get government involved and government departments involved. So, yeah, it's a complete waste of money. The money would be far better spent on dealing with real pollution issues and more important, getting good data, collecting good data before you start rushing off in harebrained schemes.
Dr. Ball, you mentioned that the goalpost has been moved. The argument has had to change as the new evidence comes in. Besides having to admit potentially that they're wrong, what's at risk here? Why are they so invested in making the American people believe that this is an urgent global catastrophe waiting to happen?
Well, because they've really only got 4 years. I mean, this is the cycle of the political the political cycle, if you want. I mean, I'm a believer in climate cycles, but if the cooling continues, then within Obama's 4 year span, the jig is going to be up. And so, of course, they've got to convince him to get in place all of these carbon taxes and the EPA, for example, listing CO2 as a toxic substance and a pollutant. It's got to be done within the 4 years because, as I say, the cooling will continue and the whole thing will just collapse. So that's the urgency. It's more about putting things in place and then perpetuating them than it is dealing with the real science and the real issues.
One of the things we've talked about is the fact that other industrialized nations have far less environmentally sensitive programs, standards, and so forth. Of course, it's China and India that were left out of the original Kyoto Protocol. What do we know about their industry's impact on the environment and why the U.S. is seemingly held to a different standard?
Well, of course, it is the double standard that is played upon, and it's part of the UN mandate to say, oh, well, the developed nations have got to pay for the developing nations. Well, why? You know, you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. And so it's part of that playing on inequities that are somehow seen as incorrect or unfair. But China and India both have said they don't want any part of any of this control of CO2. China building, what, 2 power coal power plants a week. But India took a very interesting stance on this, because one of the things that is lost And, of course, what Gore plays on when he said, oh, well, you've only got so many years left, and it's the planet that we've got to save, and so on and so forth. He's got the moral high ground. And it's part of the whole environmental movement that they've stolen the moral high ground, that somehow they're the only ones that care about the environment or the planet. But India came out and said, well, look, yeah, okay, you tell us there's a climate change, but the evidence is not there, and it's not proven, the science isn't settled. And, oh, by the way, we got people starving to death. That happens to be more important to us right now than worrying about those possible things 100 years from now. And so with that, they took back some of the moral high ground. And, of course, we see that occurring in other countries where they're saying, well, okay, yeah, but, boy, if people are out of work and the economies are down, that's more immediate from a political sense than any possible thing 100 years from now. So gradually you see them stealing back some of that moral high ground that's been taken from them.
About 60 seconds left here with Dr. Tim Ball. And Dr. Ball, we mentioned a moment ago that there's a short window of opportunity to get some of these policies in place that global warming proponents would like to perpetuate. What should we be on the lookout for? What, in addition to a lot of government spending, should we have our antenna up for?
Well, I think one of the things that you're going to see is that they'll come up with excuses about why their predictions about the trends, why this cooling is occurring right now. And it's always got to be a human cause. They have to blame humans for every single thing. And so what you'll see more and more is, oh, well, our computer models didn't work because of the carbon put into the atmosphere by the so-called, by the coal plants. And they'll say that carbon has blocked the sunlight, and that's what's kept the Earth cool. So you'll see more and more of that shift of finding a human cause for the failure of their own science. And that's the thing that you need to look for.
And so we will keep an eye out for that. Dr. Ball, as always, great to have you with us. Thank you for sharing your insights, sir.
Well, thanks again for the opportunity.
Dr. Tim Ball is a former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg, one of the most respected voices on the climate change debate. This is Dateline Washington.